everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. And together, we are off and running on a new week on the Buckmaster Show, Monday, August 7th, 2017. Hope you had a great weekend. It looks like we are now in that kind of in-between monsoon season. Things drying out considerably, but the rain chances will improve later in the weekend, by the weekend. So certainly the summer thunderstorms are not gone. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 for your calls and questions. Bruce Ash is here and Jeff Rogers for our Monday political face-off. You can also follow us on Twitter. Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, and seated to the right of me, Mr. Bruce Ash, four-term Republican National Committeeman from Arizona. The Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They are located at Fort Lowell and Dodge. And, well, what can you say? If you need any kind of framing needs, Moe's is the place to go. And if you need beautiful custom-made mirrors, we've got a few of them in our home. Moe comes out, takes care of everything, does all the measuring. It makes it very simple. So Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, we appreciate their support. Jeff, how was your weekend?
Very good. It's nice that we got a little reprieve from the rain. Our stable's kind of drying out and my horses aren't standing in mud.
And so did you get on the horses this weekend?
No, it was still pretty bad. And I've also got one horse that's just a little bit lame. I'm not sure what the problem is. Going to have the vet out to see her this week.
And Bruce, how are you?
Great. Had an awesome weekend.
Were you in the San Diego area?
Yep. Yeah, my sister and her family came and visited with us, and we had a delicious dinner at our house on Saturday night. And
what was on the menu, may I ask?
It was surf and turf. Costco has the greatest deal on lobsters. These little tails. And anyway, we marinated them in oil and garlic, lots of garlic, and then threw them on the barbecue, and they cook in about 10 minutes total. Mm-hmm. They were awesome.
And the meat choice?
I think it was a New York cut.
Okay. Sounds nice.
Sounds delicious.
It was a lot of fun.
A little bit, put another one on the Barbie. Before we move on, I want to talk about Senator Flake right off the top, but there was some political news. I saw the post, Jeff Rogers, this morning. Karen Ulick, Ward 3, longtime Tucson City Councilwoman, today endorsed one of the three Democrats that are running in the Democratic primary in the race that will replace her because she's retiring. She endorsed today Felicia Chu. And but you had yesterday the Arizona Daily Star endorsing the businessman Tom Tronstall. So how do you see this race? Pretty hard to gauge these kind of
races. Well, it is because there's not a lot of interest in this election this year. There's not any kind of scandal like in the past with Rio Nuevo, and there's nothing to get people kind of worked up it's worked up in a lather. And not only that, there's no Republican on the ballot, and an independent has
Gary Watson.
Yes, has a very rare chance of winning in a city like Tucson. So this primary is going to decide who wins that seat, basically. And so, you know, and there all good candidates. I think, probably one of the best candidate of all is Paul Durham, a retired lawyer and MBA from Colorado originally. He's been here about 12, 13 years and has done a lot of community work. I'm a little bit prejudiced because he was my treasurer after Jonathan Rothschild left to run for mayor when I was chairman of the Democratic Party. And he did an awfully great job as a follow-up to Jonathan, who was probably the best treasurer ever of the Democratic Party. But I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. It sure be nice to see a higher turnout than I really do expect. It's not going to take many votes to win that seat.
How many people might vote in a primary like that?
You're only going to have a few thousand people voting in that primary.
Whoa.
And it's, the person who makes the most personal contact with voters is probably going to be the person who prevails.
And we're going to re-air our little debate that we did here on the program so people will have a chance. I think we're one of the few radio shows that had all three of them sit down, and that's going to be next Wednesday. Bruce, why no Republican challenger in these city races?
Well, first off, on Ms. Ulick's choice of Felicia Chu, it is the alt-left endorsing the alt-left. And that makes sense because of Councilman Ulick's background.
And I wouldn't disagree with that either.
You know, it is frustrating that we weren't able to get a candidate. Yeah. Believe me, we really did try.
What happened with Watson? Rumors were that he was initially going to be a Republican candidate and somehow got nixed.
Oh, I don't think that's the case. Hmm. I mean, it may have happened at some level that I'm not aware of, but I was privy to conversations with the Pima County Republican chairman and some activists in the area. And we worked for probably a month and a half to 2 months, recruiting candidates. And one by one, they kind of fell by the wayside. And I was very disappointed. You know, it is important that there be a debate. The numbers are very, very skewed. But it's important that we have a debate and that voters be given a choice. And unfortunately, we weren't able to find any candidate at all.
So these are the least competitive wards that are really up with Republicans and Democrats.
Well, everybody runs citywide in general elections.
That's
so
true.
This is a heavily Democratic ward, that doesn't matter.
Right.
But it's going to hurt overall turnout in the general election to not have a Republican up in each one of the seats.
And Mr. Fimbus is running unopposed in his Democratic primary. I don't think there will be very many people to turn out for this. A lot of wasted postage, probably, as a result.
All right. Turning to the situation with Jeff Flake, certainly a lot of attention to his new book. Jeff Rogers, does this help Democrats at all? And I know there's still a lot of talk about who a candidate may be, the Democratic challenger, if Flake survives the primary. Does this help Democrats?
Well, it might. I mean, I have a lot of difficulty understanding the criticism of Jeff Flake. I mean, and from looking at it from my perspective as a Democrat, he's, one of the more rock-ribbed conservatives that there is out there. I mean, he's, his conservative credentials are really almost unparalleled and unquestioned. And so I can hardly see the criticism of him. But I have enjoyed the debate about his book that came out. He's one of his quotes that I liked particularly was, somehow conservatism has become being mean and loud, and you can't enact conservative policy if you act that way. And I think he's squarely identifying something that started in 2009 after Barack Obama became president, and we saw that Tea Party summer, which was pretty virulent in the summer of 2009 and continued with a rather landslide in a way of Republicans taking control of the House in 2010. So I that anger hasn't dissipated. It's still there. And I think that we're better off if we can back away from that anger and talk about these conservative versus liberal, Republican versus Democrat issues from an ideological perspective, because we're better off if we have the debate about the issues in a civil way. And I think that Senator Flake is contributing to making the atmosphere more civil. The only risk for the Republicans here is that they end up with a challenger like Graham or DeWitt or maybe Kelly Ward or somebody who takes him out in a primary and then risks losing that seat to the Democrats because even though we don't have candidates out there right now who are for certain running, they would be weaker candidates, whereas he's practically unbeatable, I think, in a general election. And so that poses a risk, I think, for the Republicans should they try to take him out in a primary and should Donald Trump come in and support them and give $10 million like he said he would do.
Bruce, what do you think?
The reason that Jeff Flake won his last election against Dr. Carmona and the reason that he would have to be considered a prohibitive favorite in a Republican primary where independents can cast a vote is that he does appeal to independents. I would take some issue with Jeff's categorization, or actually the senator's categorization of conservatives as being loud and mean. Look at the conservatives who are our federal officers here in Arizona. McSally, both of the U.S. senators, Mr. Schweikert, Franks, Mr. Gosar, or actually Dr. Gosar, as well as Andy Biggs. And, you know, Andy in his case, you know, Andy's been kind of an outspoken person in the Freedom Caucus, but Andy's a very smart guy. And Andy has worked hard to craft a message that is intelligent and forthright, and I think that is what we see a lot from Republicans. I understand, you know, some people in Jeff's party think we're all loud and we're all mean.
Not all of you.
and I guess that comes with the territory sometimes. So, you know, we think a lot of things about Democrats and how they do things as well. And we might say the same things. But Jeff Flake is a prohibitive favorite in this primary at this time because of his appeal both to a wide range of conservatives as well as independents who can vote in this election. And I think, you know, the winner on the Republican side in this primary will likely be the next U.S. Senator. Mr. Freeze, Mr. Stanton really don't have the type of ability to raise money and to engage in name identification that Senator Flake has, good, bad, or indifferent, you know, as to how you look at him.
All right. Jeff, hold your thought there because we're at the break, because I do want to hear your thoughts about Dr. Freeze and Mayor of Phoenix, Greg Stanton. They're the two that are being talked about on the Democratic side. We're going to continue our conversation on the Monday Political Face-Off after we take a break right here. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, Voice of America White House correspondent Steve Herman joins us, plus Republican State Senator Steve Montenegro. Senator Montenegro will be talking about his primary challenge to Secretary of State Michelle Reagan. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, Tucson's Voice. Also, we are live at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing presenting our face-off, Fort Lowell and Dodge. Moe does such a great job. Bruce Ash, like me, very loyal customer of Moe's. Bruce Ash with me and Jeff Rogers. Jeff, before we took the break, we brought up a couple of names, Representative Dr. Randy Freese, and we brought up Mayor of Phoenix Greg Stanton as a couple names that have come up as far as running as challengers to if Senator Flake were to survive the primary.
And also names that might come up should anything happen, hopefully not, to Senator McCain in the meantime, and if were he not to survive long enough to get past the November election of 2018. Dr. Randy Freese and Greg Stanton are both outstanding candidates. Stanton has, you know, won by wide margins twice in the city of Phoenix and has done a great job as mayor of the city of Phoenix. And he could certainly, as Freese could, count on the support of Pima County, which traditionally votes by wide margins for the Democratic candidate for governor. And then the big challenge for both of them would be, what do they do in the rural areas where Flake is pretty well known? Other candidates might not be nearly as well known as Flake, but I think either one of those would present a pretty potent challenge to anyone except Flake. Flake is probably, you know, an awfully strong candidate. It's, you know, we need a wave election to take somebody like that out. It's not gonna be an individual election or any one candidate that's not gonna knock him out. It's gonna have to be a real anti-Trump wave, which is a possibility. I must admit.
And look, the Democrats have tons and tons of seats to defend. I don't see the Democratic Party or large donors to the party putting money into a race that is questionable of victory.
Well, keep in mind this very slim margin that Trump won by in this state. I mean, if this turns into a referendum on Trump, these statewide offices become a little bit more interesting. And right now, it would be. Now, things could calm down a little bit in the next year, but right now, if this election were held today, it really would be all about Donald Trump and where you stand on him. And that's why this stuff with Flake probably helps him in a general election where he looks like he's independent of Trump and is not, you know, carrying his baggage. But
independent voters, and Bruce brought that does. Bruce brought that up. A lot of independent voters.
No question about that. And if I can, just to mention Senator McCain, you know, he is a pretty tough bird. It's a little too early in his medical treatment, you know, to know where things stand. I think he's, if anybody's going to survive roughly the next 18 months or so into a general election, it probably would be the likes of John McCain, totally dedicated to service. And, you know, having had cancer twice myself, I can tell you that your own personal constitution and will, even when you have cancer, and in some cases, you know, a pretty bad cancer, even when you have those kinds of odds against you, when you set your mind to stuff, you know, God and nature does some pretty amazing things.
I can attest to that myself, being a survivor of it as well.
Gentlemen, as far as health care, what's going to emerge here? What is called the skinny version? Something will emerge. Are you confident that that will be the case before the next year election?
Well, you know, I wish this wasn't just based upon elections, mm-hmm. but it's politics, and that's part of the game.
Right.
I think that both parties are working behind the scenes. There's at least been some public comments about the skinny plan. The ability to, if we're not going to repeal Obamacare, the Democrats have expressed a desire to fix the parts that aren't working well, to increase competition. More and more providers are leaving markets, and so many more markets only have one provider and literally no choice. And, you know, the impact on consumers is significant. And we're not talking about healthcare itself. We're talking about access to healthcare through coverage. And we're talking about people who don't necessarily have that sort of benefit provided to them by their employers. And there's a large number of people that do. We have to fix this. And I think both sides are committed to do that.
Well, I think the skinny bill is dead. What everybody seems to understand right now is that we've got to shut Trump up, and we've got to get him to quit calling these bailouts for insurance companies and for other things. What the most immediate need is something called CSRs. They're called cost sharing reductions. Mm. And these are monies that are given by the federal government to insurance companies to cover the most, let's say, the sickest people who are in need of the most health care. And without that, the market's going to collapse. And that's what this threat by Trump really is a threat to try to collapse the market. And the problem is that when they wrote this bill, they miswrote one paragraph of it, and that part of it was held to be these things could be outlawed. And so that's currently pending in a court of appeals case, and we don't know where that's going to be. But Democrats and Republicans alike, and there have been some indications that everybody's starting to get on board for this fix, because the problem is we need to fix it through 2018, because we need to stabilize these markets. Insurers aren't going to stick around in a marketplace if this thing is not fixed, because they're looking at what can I count on? Stability means some kind of predictability, and that's what the insurers are looking for. And so and that was actually one of the five parts of the sort of moderate group of bipartisan group in the House came up with. Some of the other parts are a little more problematic, but that part they could all agree on, both Democrats and Republicans. These cost sharing reductions need to be fully funded, and so I think there is some movement. And I think McCain called it right. Let's get back to regular order. Let's do something bipartisan. Let's try to fix this and not go at each other's throats and everybody say, I want all of this or nothing.
Hmm. Well, the Republican plan from the beginning had been to be able to create coverage, special pools, if you will, for high-risk individuals. I think what's at greater peril in terms of why the Obamacare model hasn't worked, Jeff and Bill, has to do with the ability to jump into coverage. You don't have coverage today, but you get sick tomorrow and be able to jump into coverage, and that works a very, very difficult sort of an economic calculus for any insurance company. It's sort of like calling your insurance agent when the house is on fire and saying, well, I need my coverage now, you know, even though I never had it before.
And that's why you have to have the mandate. But the mandate means you pay a penalty, and the penalty probably should be higher than it is now, because people are susceptible of doing that. And you have to somehow penalize people who are doing that in some way, shape, or form, because you're right. It is like calling your insurance company while your house is burning down.
Well, the other way to handle it would be perhaps through tax credits for people who otherwise can't afford the coverage to pay for it on their own.
The problem with tax credits is that works well for Bill, for me, for you, but you know, people making $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, or even $60,000 for a family of four, those people are not going to be as well taken care of in a tax credit situation as they are in a market currently, as Obamacare does, where they're subsidized in their policies.
Now, earned income tax credits change the face of welfare in this country, and perhaps it's part of the answer. I don't think it's any one thing, but it's perhaps part of the answer that we're all seeking.
Medicare for all, though, is not on the horizon.
Well, I think we'll ultimately see a single-payer Medicare for all. Whether it will be in you, my, and Bruce's lifetime, I'm not sure.
But you think eventually
we'll get there. I mean, we're the only civilized country that doesn't have something like that, and we'll get there sooner or later, but it's going to take a while.
All right. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing presenting our Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash, have a great week.
Thank you.
And Jeff Rogers. Thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome.
Moe's Gallery, check it out, Fort Lowell and Dodge. We thank Moe and his family. They've been around since 1975 in this community, and they do a great job. We'll be right back.
The Arizona Wildcats kick off the 2017 football season on September 2nd with Fan Appreciation Night and an exclusive bobblehead giveaway of NFL superstar Rob Gronkowski. There are several ticket packages, including one that guarantees you your own Gronk bobblehead. Go to ArizonaWildcats.com/FB to buy your tickets now and learn more, or call 621-CATS. Single game tickets start at just $12.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Monday edition. And speaking of green things, they do all these wonderful free workshops, the full schedule available for you at greenthingsaz.com, these wonderful workshops for the gardeners. Great advice at 3384 East River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Jan and Jack, the owners of Green Things, have really made that into a beautiful gardening destination. There you go, on 13 acres. The Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs, General John Wickham, is with us. General Wickham was the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987 and Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham served 4 decades in the Army. He is now retired in Oro Valley, and he's with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. General, how are you? That's Korean for how are you, sir? Right?
How are you, good friend? Long time no see.
And a good friend of ours will be our guest tomorrow, Steve Herman, the White House correspondent for Voice of America. Steve's going to be joining us at the top of the show tomorrow, and I know you think a lot of Steve and his work.
We both do. He's wonderful.
He's a great guy. All right, you know what we're going to begin with today, the situation with North Korea. What we're hearing now is that China supposedly is putting some pressure on North Korea, this after the United Nations beefed up the sanctions. General Wickham, does any of this make any difference in the long run?
Oh, it does, Bill. That's the only way we can pressure North Korea is through the sanctions. And the sanctions, unanimously approved by the United Nations Security Council, China and Russia voting yes to do that. And these sanctions restrict the exports from North Korea, coal in particular, which is a major earner of income. So it's going to hurt North Korea. It's going to hurt their people. But the North Koreans have lashed out, as you know, just a few moments ago, saying this is the United States drafted this, and we're not going to ever give up the nuclear weapons and the ballistic missiles, which are guarantees of our security against the aggression from the United States. So we're faced with a dilemma here, and I think the solution has got to be, perhaps, to get China to host some sort of talks, maybe with 2 different rooms, the North Koreans in 1 room and the U.S. and South Koreans in another room, but China is the intermediary, to begin to get some kind of palaver going on so that we can move in some correct direction. But the North Koreans believe, and I think rightly so, that the Western nations, the United States in particular, seek ultimately to denuclearize North Korea. They're never going to give up on that. And if I were a North Korean, I wouldn't either, given their paranoia. So unless the United States and China and South Korea and Japan, other nations are willing to accept North Korea as a nuclear power, and now we need to put some constraints on that power, we're never going to get anywhere with negotiations.
790-2040, any questions would be welcome for General Wickham. Negotiators, my goodness, you think back to the history, going back to the Korean conflict, General Wickham. They're pretty tough negotiators, aren't they, the North Koreans? Didn't it go on for 2 or 3 years before even an armistice was drawn up?
They're exactly right. When I was the commander over there, the people that I sent up to Pyongyang for Panmunjom, actually, where we negotiated with the North Koreans, they would come back every month and say, golly, the North Koreans were using new words. We don't know what they mean. And it's their attitude. They are tough negotiators. But I think that we can get there if we're willing to pursue, as I point out, willingness to accept North Korea as a nuclear power. And let us now see how we can constrain it. But if we're going to insist on total denuclearization, we're going to get nowhere.
The North Korean ICBM test, what can you share with our listeners about that, General Wickham? Is this an area of as much concern as Washington has indicated it is?
Amen. It is, Bill. Exactly. The ICBM that they have tested has the capability, if it's flown on the proper flight path, can reach the middle of the United States. Now, can the North Koreans put a nuclear weapon on it? That nuclear weapon could suffer through the reentry? That's a question that may not be answered right away. But they will get it, and they're going to pursue it. And what's always surprising is that their technology seems to be moving faster than we can estimate. So I think there is going to be a danger, and they're going to have more capabilities to do that. And they're also going to be able to export that technology to other countries. Do we need to let them export it to other rogue nations in the world? No. That's part of the constraints that we have to work out with North Korea. But we are faced with a very difficult situation, and I'm not sure the administration is up to the task.
Who's doing in North Korea? Is this Chinese advisors that are helping with the nuclear program? Can you give us some insight in that? Are these homegrown scientists from North Korea that are working on the nuclear program?
They're virtually all homegrown. When Kim Il-sung, the founder of North Korea, suffered through the Korean War, he is alleged to have said, nuclear weapons are the answer, and we must acquire them. So they pursued developing the capability, including the intellectual capability, to acquire the weapons and to manufacture them. So we shut it off in South Korea, but the South Koreans could start it up overnight if we let them. And that's another interesting aspect of all this, Bill, is, as you know, the South Koreans have now said, we have reversed our position on the high-altitude air defense missile system, the THAAD. We didn't want them there, mm-hmm. said originally, but now bring them on. We need the THAAD to protect us. And secondly, the South Koreans have asked the United States for authority to commence the technology to refit all of the South Korean weaponry that can now deliver 1 ton of high explosives as opposed to the constrained half ton. So a ton of 2,000 pounds of high explosive in a ballistic missile can do a whale of a lot of damage. So the South Koreans are moving ahead. I think in part, Bill, my humble opinion, the South Korean leadership believes that the U.S. government is no longer reliable enough, and that therefore the South Koreans have to do more for their own independence and sovereignty. And I think we're going to see the Japanese do the same thing. Hmm. That's one of the blowbacks of this attitude that this current administration has created in the world. As we pull out of Europe, the Paris Peace Accords, pull out of the Pacific Trade Agreement, and sort of say we're going to be America alone, and not going to be connected with other countries. These other countries are going to start moving in their own direction, and I think that's a big danger.
All right. Like, we got a couple of questions for General Wickham about North Korea, and I want to go with Tony first because he wants to talk a little bit about how do you shoot down some of these nukes. Go ahead, Tony.
Hi, General. Hi, Tony. This is Tony. How you doing? I'm a retired Air Force officer with combat experience in Vietnam, flying the F-4 Phantom. But I wanted to ask you a question about the ability of our airborne laser systems. Do we have airborne laser systems that can shoot down, or not shoot down, but destroy missiles on the pad before they're even launched?
Hmm. Yes, we do. And, Tony, as you may know, we also have cyber capabilities. And some of the failures of launches in North Korea, guess what? My belief is they have been caused by our own cyber activity, getting in there and screwing up the electronics on the missiles, the way years ago occurred with Israel and Iran. So we're doing a lot of things that the media doesn't know about and shouldn't.
All right, let's see what Sheldon has to say. Hey, Sheldon, go ahead. Sheldon? I think Sheldon's question, General, I've got it on the screen here. What is the Russians' role in the Korea situation, please?
Well, an excellent question, because it's somewhat doubtful, dubious, what the Russian role is. That, and part of a problem comes from the standoff between U.S. and Russia. But Russia can play a very constructive role, because if you look at the geography, Russia shares a border with North Korea. And I have visited that part of, and talked with the Russians that lived there, or at least worked there. So there is a relationship. It goes back a long time. And I think we can get the Russians to play a constructive role if we can work with them and get them to do that. But we haven't done it yet. And that, again, comes back to this position of the U.S. government right now. We are not exerting the kind of authoritative leadership that we need. We used to have. We don't have it now.
All right, we're going to take our break here, 12:45 exactly, on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. If you would like to join in the conversation, General Wickham is available, and he certainly knows a lot about what's going on in the Korean situation. So we'll be right back.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Back. It is the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a great weekend getaway. But since the weekend just ended, there's nothing wrong with a midweek getaway. 3-hour drive to Silver City might be even actually better during the week. So check it out. 15 degrees cooler in that area, mainly because of the higher elevation. Things really in a lovely environment by the Gila National Wilderness. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of the great places to stay and things to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. General John Wickham is with us, former Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army. And let's go now to the live line. Our friend Jim Kelly is with us. Jim, you're with the General.
Thank you, Bill. General Wickham, hello, sir. I want to get a take, your take, on Turkey and Erdogan specifically. He's trying to keep everything mixed up and connecting the Syrian question, the Kurd question, the ISIL question, even relationships with Iran and Israel, all in one basket, instead of allowing for separate and parallel diplomatic negotiations. What is your take on this?
Jim, I think you're right. Erdogan has sort of got things mixed up. But you've got to stand back a bit, and you're familiar with this. Erdogan really is coming from a very conservative point of view in Turkey, like the founder of modern Turkey, and which actually moved Turkey to the west as opposed back to the east. And so Turkey really has historic origins in the west from the founder of modern Turkey. In any event, Erdogan is seeking to develop more stability inside the country. They have resistance from the Kurdish party inside of Turkey, and that's been fighting the Turkish government, trying to create a Kurdish enclave inside of Turkey. And you can understand why the Turkish government is resisting that. Ultimately, I think the solution will lead to a Kurdistan that will include the Kurds from Iraq as well as the Kurds inside of Turkey. And that might sort of alleviate the circumstances, but I think you're right. We need to move on more parallel paths there. But I think that Erdogan is a good man, and we ought to work with him for the future of the region.
790-2040 is our live line number. Let's talk a little bit about the new White House Chief of Staff. He is General Kelly, is the new chief. What do you know about General Kelly, General Wickham?
I don't know John Kelly, but knowing what it takes to make 4 stars in the military, I have the greatest respect for him. He obviously is a brilliant man and has done well, and there's a good future for him. The real issue for Kelly or any chief of staff in the White House is what is the president going to allow him to do? If the president, and Mr. Trump is the one we're talking about now, continues to go around the chief of staff and continues to bypass him in the way of getting information and issuing information, it's going to make the chief of staff's problem impossible to solve. So Kelly really has his work cut out for him. Mr. Trump likes to tweet all the time. He likes to bypass. He likes to talk to people and get input and then to give instructions on his own. and in a way function as his own chief of staff. So Kelly has got, in my humble opinion, an almost impossible job. I know what it takes to work with civilian leadership. I worked for Jim Schlesinger when he was Secretary of Defense and Don Rumsfeld, and I had a terrific relationship with Jim Schlesinger. I could tell Jim things that he didn't want to hear, that he was doing things wrong, and I could just suggest the right things to do. Jim could have fired me, as he joked, but he didn't, because he knew I was doing the right thing for him and for the government. And I think we've got to be sure that Kelly understands that and that Trump gives him the same kind of guidance.
Well, let's see if he's successful with getting the president to tone down the tweets a bit. As far as veterans are concerned, what is this latest authorization for veterans to use civil medical help?
Bill, you're exactly right. That goes back a few years when there was an episode in Phoenix, the VA up there, people long waiting lists, and John McCain got involved, bless his heart, doing that. And can't we get the VA to be much more responsive instead of these long waiting lists? So the pressure has been for several years to see if we can't get veterans to be treated by civilians outside of a certain range, maybe 40 miles if you're outside of 40 miles from the VA facility. We can go and see a local doctor and the government will pay for it, kind of like Medicare, if you will. And so the new legislation that has been passed now, and I think signed, allows that to happen so that veterans can bypass the VA and go to local doctors. That's good news for VA, for veterans that are outside the range of the hospitals. It's bad news in the sense that it bypasses the good care that VA centers can provide. The VA centers understand what veterans need and how to do it. And the nurses and doctors in our VA facilities stay on longer than they do in civilian hospitals, believe it or not, because they realize what they're doing is so important.
You had great experience with the VA and have had, haven't you, General Wickham?
Yes, because in part, when I was chief, when I traveled to visit troops, I would try to go and visit VA medical facilities just to shake hands with the veterans and to boost the morale. But I've also worked closely with Gabby Giffords when she was a congresswoman. Bless her heart, she was a miraculous leader. She was on the VA committee in Congress, and she got a lot of money for our VA facility here in Tucson, and she worked hard to move the VA in the right direction. And unfortunately, I think her replacement is not doing anywhere near as well as Gabby Giffords did.
All right, General Wickham, so the situation with North Korea looks very tense at this point. In summary, we really don't have a lot of options, do we, on the table, sir?
You're exactly right, Bill. That's a good way to put it. We're very limited, but I think we must recognize that in terms of the regional situation with Japan, South Korea, and China, and Taiwan, for that matter, that we must develop some kind of stability in that region. Otherwise, the proliferation issue is going to raise its ugly head, and we're not going to have non-proliferation. The South Korean parliament is already talking about the time is right for us to acquire nuclear weapons. And my understanding from working over there is that the South Koreans can start on a nuclear program overnight. The Japanese have also, their parliament has also been talking, maybe the time is right for them to acquire nuclear weapons. I don't think that's good for the globe or for security. We need to move with some alacrity and forthright leadership. And unfortunately, Bill, I'm not into politics, but I just don't see that kind of leadership coming from our current government.
All right. General Wickham, thank you very much. Are you still out there exercising every day?
Every day. The good Lord lets me. I try to ride 3 miles on my tricycle, and it's great. I love the beautiful views around here. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
We're living here all your life. This is a wonderful state to live in.
All right, General Wickham, thank you very much. Have a great day, sir. Thanks.
God bless, Bill.
All right, General John Wickham, usually with us the first Monday of the month, and sometimes it's not if the Monday is a holiday, but yeah, it's around the early in the month that we join General Wickham and get his insight. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Shaw hosts the program, and Ray Allen will be ably assisting Mr. Shaw on the other side of the glass, and that will be coming up between 4 and 5 today on Mike Check. Wake Up Tucson, 3 hours in the morning from 6 to 9, then me, Bill Buckmaster. Back with you tomorrow, my friend Steve Herman, White House correspondent for The Voice of America, will join us. The White House basically is under right now remodeling job with the president on vacation. The big change is going on structurally to the White House. That's going on right now. We'll talk to Steve about that. All right. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon and evening.